Mike Gualacci is project lead of the ACTF project. He's delivering...
Co-technical lead.
Co-technical lead, pardon
yeah,
me.
Yeah, not the project lead.
And you are presenting at EclipseCon this year on ACTF, but more generally on accessibility.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Can you tell us a little bit about the talk?
Yeah, so we actually presented last year at EclipseCon 2008, and we actually... I think one of the problems we had last year was we didn't introduce people enough to the notion of accessibility and what an accessibility IT solution was and that sort of thing. And just so everybody knows, I always tell people I have kind of a personal and professional stake in this because I am totally blind myself, and I'm a developer, and I use Eclipse every day, all the time. So it's an issue that means something to me personally and professionally. And this year, what we thought we'd do is to try and attack the problem a little more generally at first. Just talk about accessibility. Why is it important? What are some of the motivations? And then kind of start diving into, okay, what does it look like when a person with a disability goes to use Eclipse? Just, you know, can you do simple things like open a view? Can you write notes in an editor? Can you? What does it look like when you do Java programming and so forth? And then, you know, some of the more complicated issues. Well, if things aren't going right for an accessibility point of view, then how do you correct that? And the Accessibility Tools Framework, ACTF, which became an Eclipse project under the technology project last year, is designed to help address that. And we do that by providing two classes of tooling. One is, of course, you know, standard plug-in componentry that integrates into the different development environments like the JDT and the WTP to help developers and content authors generate applications and content that's accessible from the outset. So, for example, in the JDT, our Java validation componentry will allow you to do real-time compliance validation from an accessibility point of view of your Java GUI-based applications, Swing or SWT, and give you feedback immediately right there on the problems view in terms of your accessibility errors, your accessibility violations, just like you would get from a compiler. So that's one set of tooling. The other set of tooling is the typical RCP standalone tools, and the best example we have of that is Accessibility Probe, or ACT Probe as we call it, which is a tool for inspecting basic properties of the basic accessibility properties of an application. So there's a certain amount of extra information that has to be included in applications that are going to be accessible, and ACT Probe kind of makes sure that that extra information is there and that it's valid and that it's usable.
Okay. So now Mike, how do you yourself interact with Eclipse?
I use JAWS, which is the major screen reader for Windows, made by a company called Freedom Scientific. And so JAWS is a Windows-specific screen reader, and basically it's a task that runs in the background and basically allows the computer to talk to me, and I access almost all applications using JAWS, Internet Explorer, Firefox, all my notes, any mail clients, anything like that, Word, or anything in Office, the Office Suite, and so forth. And Eclipse is no exception because... at bottom, of course, Eclipse is based on the standard widget toolkit, SWT, and SWT is a thin wrapper on Windows, so JAWS works actually very well in Eclipse. Now, having said that, I will say that some of the features that you might take for granted, like syntax highlighting or markers in the actual file that indicate errors, I don't get to take advantage of because there is no way right now in Windows to export that additional semantic information. So I can use Eclipse, I always tell people, probably 70% effectively. There's a 30% gap there that I just can't take advantage of at this point.
Now, is that 30% gap, is that something that can be addressed by providing better accessibility? Is that something that developers can do, or is that just like the highlighting, the syntax highlighting?
Some of it, like the syntax highlighting, is probably there are settings and screen readers, and if I really wanted to you know, pursue, and I thought syntax highlighting was useful. I could get JAWS to actually read in different voices for different colorations or different font families and so forth. So there's that kind of fix. And then there's the kind of fix where, as you just said, that the developer has to do something. Some of that has already been done. In fact, there was a big improvement between Eclipse 3.2 and 3.3.3 and 3.3, for example, just in navigating some of the basic views in their toolbars. One example of this is, almost as you know, any view has a toolbar that is associated with it. Well, those toolbar buttons were just being read as buttons. I didn't have any idea what the button did, so I would just hear JAWS would just read button, and I would have no idea what the button did. But they actually added some additional information to the using the SWT accessibility API, which we can talk more about if you want to a little bit later. And which I'll address also in the talk. And they use this API to give basically JAWS additional information so that, for example, when I'm in the Package Explorer, I can go to the toolbar for the Package Explorer and I can actually hear Collapse All, for example, is one of the button options in that toolbar, which I couldn't hear before.
Cool. Now, I guess an obvious question, the ACTF views, are they themselves made accessible?
Yes. In fact, we pride ourselves, it's really ironic, Wayne, that most accessibility tools are not themselves accessible.
Is that a fact? That's funny.
It's really
odd.
The quintessential examples, in fact, I did a talk at the California State University at Northridge, the giant expose on disabilities and technology last year on this very very fact. And, for example, Accessibility Probe, unlike tools like Microsoft's Inspect 32, is fully accessible. As a blind user, I can use Accessibility Probe. I can inspect my applications. I can see what the properties are. I can monitor events and so forth. Whereas with Microsoft Inspect, it's almost impossible. They just didn't bother to build accessibility into the tool. And there's a lot of examples. Web. There's a company called Parasoft, which makes a tool called WebKing, which is primarily, as the name suggests, for validation of web compliance to accessibility guidelines and other guidelines, actually. But it's almost completely inaccessible, which is really ironic because it's written in Swing, and Swing has a very rich accessibility API. They just didn't bother to utilize it.
Right, I guess they depend on, like everything else, I guess it's you still depend on the developers, for the most part, to make things accessible.
Exactly, and I'll address that in my talk. I mean, having an accessibility architecture like the Java Accessibility API present is one thing, but trying to get developers to actually use it and use it correctly is kind of where ACTF comes in.
But I guess it's the case, though, that the platform team does a pretty good job. And then, of course, ACTF is clearly doing a good job with the use of it as well.
Yeah, like I said, the pure fact that I can, you know, use Eclipse on a daily basis and do all my development in Eclipse is, a testimony, I think, to how well the teams have done.
Sure. Now, do you have much experience with other, like an RCP-based application, or is there...
BlackProbe is an RCP-based application.
Okay, so now I guess the question I have are RCP applications being made accessible? Like, I know there's a certain amount of, you get a certain amount of sort of default accessibility. I imagine,
right.
Like, you can read labels and things like that.
Sure.
Without any special
sure.
help.
We did have to do, and I talked about this in my talk last year, We did have to do some extra work to make some of the functionality of ACTProbe accessible. One example of this is there's a view in ACTProbe called the Properties View, the Accessibility Properties View, and it lists the most common properties, and you can, you know, select which properties you want to have it show and not show, and their values. Well, this is kind of one of the unfortunate things moving from 3.2 to 3.3 was the dropping of the table tree widget in favor of the fully functional tree widget with columns. Well, what that did for JAWS was confused it. JAWS sees that now as an outline view, and it says, oh, outlines don't have columns, so I don't have to worry about columns. And the table tree, because it was recognized by JAWS as a table, would actually give column information from the cells in that widget. So what we had to do in ACTProbe was say, okay, well, when we get to any particular selection in the properties view, we're going to have we're going to export not only the name of the property, but also the value of that property. So you're looking at the accessibility properties view, and you'll see two columns, but I'm actually hearing the two columns with an equal sign in between, because that's the way we program JAWS to, or the accessibility API to talk to JAWS and tell it what to say to me.
This is an entirely new world for me. I know, like, I've thought about accessibility in the past, but I really just haven't put enough thought into it, I guess.
No, you're one up on everybody else.
it just seems like this is such an important thing that we really all as software developers really need.
You know,
to
I'll talk about this in my talk as some of the motivational factors. I mean, forget that it's the right thing to do, and that, you know, there's legislation all over the world coming down the pike, and you know, just go to the fact that there are, you know, mobile devices and situations, for example, when you're in your car or when you've got your hands tied or whatever, doing something else, when you are, to some extent, as we like to say, situationally disabled. And there are, in these instances, you want to take advantage of the kind of technology that we're talking about in this talk, regardless if you have a disability or not. And there's, of course, temporary disabilities and, you know, people grow older and start to lose their vision. And these are all things that fall under this general accessibility or usability arena.
So now, are you aware of the ERCP, and more specifically whether it supports accessibility?
I don't know anything about ERCP.
Okay, I guess I need to independently research that. That's the embedded version of RCP that runs on some phones and other devices.
Oh, no, I don't know anything about that.
Okay. Anyway, it's an interesting thing that I need to research. So now the talk itself is being held on the Tuesday. I believe we decided earlier that it was at 2:30 on the Tuesday.
Is it Monday or Tuesday?
Well, it's the first day of the conference. Monday is tutorials.
Okay. Okay. So Tuesday then.
So Tuesday would be the first day of actual talks.
Talks.
Yes,
okay.
Seeing, yeah. 2:30. The actual talk name is Eclipse for All: Doing Accessibility Right in the Framework.
That's correct.
Now you have a co-presenter.
Yeah, Kentaro Fukuda from the Tokyo Research Lab. We've actually been working together now for almost 2 years to the day on this project, and he will be presenting along with me. Their lab specializes actually in the visualization side of things, the simulation side of things. So where I'm talking about compliance validation or inspection, they're going to be talking about one of their quintessential RCP tools is something called A-Designer. And A-Designer will let you adjust, for example, the view of a web page based on, you know, visual acuity, color blindness, and so forth. So you can say, all right, what does this web page look like if I'm red-green colorblind and have a visual acuity of 20/60? And then you get an idea of, you know, what you need to do to enhance your page for that particular disability.
We used to have a guy I worked with. You just have him look at the screen. I remember one time we had this just wonderful display all set up with great colors, and he came and he said, "What is all that yellow stuff?" And it was all yellow to him. Or it was all the same color.
Yep.
So having tools that actually do that's exciting. That's part of the ACTF as well.
That is.
Okay.
Yep. Yep, and they've deployed it both as an RCP application, and then you can, and also as something that's integrated into the framework itself, so you can pull up the views and, you know, view your Java apps or whatever. I don't know to what extent that work has been done within the framework that started out actually as a standalone application. So.
Okay, so that's something that may or may not be fully integrated with Eclipse with the Eclipse Workbench at this point.
Exactly.
Okay, interesting. So I'm really looking forward to this talk. Is there anything else that anyone listening to this podcast should need to know before they attend this talk?
No, I'm like I said at the beginning of the, I'm really hoping that unlike last year, we're able to connect with people who have no notion of accessibility, which is pretty much everybody, at least in my experience.
Yeah, we're sorry for that.
You know, what can you do? There's only some, you know. Developers only have so much time. I don't know anything about internationalization, so, you know, it's the same thing. So, you know, this is just a chance to see another aspect of your development work.
So the talk is it's talk number 335. I'm not sure if that's going to matter to anybody, but again, the title is Eclipse for All: Doing Accessibility Right in the Framework. It's on the Tuesday, which is the 24th. of March. EclipseCon itself runs from the 23rd to the 26th of March. Registration is now open. You can find out more about EclipseCon at www.eclipsecon.org. Thank you very much, Mike, for letting us know about your talk. And again, I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to seeing you at EclipseCon.
Thanks, Wayne.
Thank you.